Welcome to The False Dragons. This is a spoiler-free podcast for the book series The Wheel of Time, written by Robert Jordan and Brandon Sanderson. Join us as we, your hosts, Alid, Mike, and Andrew, explore this amazing series for the first time. We hope you will join us on this journey.
Eyes Without Pity. I thought that was quite a cool name for a chapter, actually. I liked it.
Good on you.
Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah. Am I not allowed to like things?
Nah.
Okay, fair enough. Hated it. Fucking
well, what? Okay, what are the Eyes Without Pity referring to?
I reckon the ravens.
The ravens, yeah.
Yeah. That's what I think. What do you think?
Ravens.
Yeah. It makes sense. Yeah. Yeah. Egwene.
Yeah.
What a babe.
I thought we'd had a discussion that Egwene was not a babe. I thought she's like built like a barn door or something.
No, we said she was too young for that.
Oh yeah, Nynaeve's a barn door.
Nynaeve's the barn door, yeah.
Egwene's the Raekfyn farmer's daughter.
Yeah.
So what happens in this chapter?
They do some running.
Yeah. Up a hill, down a hill, up a hill, no, round a hill.
Yeah.
Round a hill. That hill's too big to go round.
Yeah.
Let's go up that hill.
Yeah.
The end.
Going straight lines.
No.
Because that's no fun.
Mm.
So, again, we come across the amazing literary device of a character knows something, but they will not reveal what they know.
You're talking about Elias?
Yes.
Well, I kind of feel like he doesn't... He has a feeling, but he doesn't really know what he's hiding from. Because...
I'll say that then. Come on, mate.
Well, I think in the end it kind of turned out to be the ravens, maybe?
But what I'm thinking... But why is Elias so cagey about it? Again, you know, this is just another character who is telling people to do things, but not giving them a reason why, and then acting all asshole-ish when people are like, oh, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
And then he's like, well, just fucking trust me, listen to me, I know what I'm doing, I'm a wolf man.
Yeah.
And then shit goes down.
Yeah.
Because nobody knew what the fuck they were doing. And why they were doing it.
Do you think Perrin ruined it? Or do you think it was just bad timing?
I think, again, to go back to my point, I think Elias ruined it.
Yeah.
By not being open and honest and saying, hey, look, there's possibly something else watching us, or looking out for us, so I'm just going to go up to the top of the hill on my belly.
Yeah.
You come with me if you want.
Yeah.
But, you know, shit, you know.
But keep your head down.
Keep your head down, you know, stuff's after us, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Wasn't that kind of maybe, like, inferred by the reason why he was doing all this kind of stuff? Like,
well, yeah, but he's obviously dealing with idiots, right?
True. Yeah.
Who's the bigger idiot? The idiot or the idiot who trusts the idiot?
Right? Yeah. That's a good point.
I just feel that that's happened a fair amount of time so far in the book. You know, people have not explained their motivations. People have not trusted them.
Yeah.
And then bad shit's happened.
Yeah.
Because everyone wants to be cagey and mysterious.
Yeah.
Because it makes for gripping reading.
Does it make for gripping reading, Andrew? Sounds like it's just annoying you.
Hey, I'm halfway through book one, mate.
Yeah, you've figured
I've
out.
I've given it my all. It's only taken me 7 months.
You've figured out the way Robert Jordan writes.
Yeah.
Yeah, characters.
It's not my first book, mate.
So, I guess nothing really happens until he He kind of, I don't know if he spooks the ravens or whether he just mistimes exactly when to stand up, or they even spot him. I'm not really sure, but like he goes, Perrin goes to like stand up, and then suddenly there's ravens everywhere.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh shit, did they see me?
Yeah. They didn't see him that time, right? They were lucky the first time.
Yeah, I guess so.
Because Elias says, if they'd seen us, we're dead. Right?
Yeah. I guess so. I guess they would have attacked. I mean, I felt it was never, like, really explained whether they were seen by the ravens or not. But I guess
I don't think they were. Because then, anything the ravens see, they kill.
Pretty much. Yeah, I mean, they fucking owned that fox.
Yeah. He deserved it, foxy bastard.
Yeah, he's probably up to no good anyway.
Dark friend.
Probably stealing someone's cider. You know?
Chickens.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's quite, I guess a little interesting tidbit to me about the whole Raven thing was I'd kind of seen them before this chapter as maybe being like the eyes of the Dark One, right?
Well, that's kind of exactly what they are, isn't it?
Well, I don't know.
Well, they're
not like, it's not like he seems to be directly seeing through.
No, I don't think he sees through their eyes.
Yeah.
I think they see and then report to other people. It's not like he's looking through all of their eyes. Yeah. Yeah.
But also that this thing that I think Elias says about the ones touched by the Dark One like to kill.
Yeah.
Right. So
all of the Dark
Ravens
ones,
kill. The Ravens kill just because that's
they like to.
They like to. Yeah.
Yeah. Because they can.
Yeah.
Like it says something that all of the Dark One's servants delight in murder.
Yeah.
And so they just murked that fox.
I think that gives you a bit of a different opinion as well on the Trollocs and the Fades, right?
Yeah.
Because if you know if that's true of them.
Yeah.
It makes them a bit more scary in that they're just there to murder.
I think that's pretty much Trolloc's only hobby.
Well, really. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe, yeah.
I don't think many are into knitting.
Well, yeah, I guess.
It's just pretty much, though. It's pretty much murder, right?
Apart from Fluffy, yeah.
Apart from Fluffy, yeah.
Well, he's dead now.
Yeah.
Rip Fluffy.
He was too good for this world anyway.
Comment F in the chat for Fluffy.
Yeah. His time was always going to be short.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess there's the point that in doing what they're doing and trying to capture people, that maybe they're going against their nature.
Yes, I think that's definitely true. I think they're just kill and eat people, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
And maybe even each other.
So, like, yeah, exactly. Like what orcs. Have they been doing all these years, like, where they haven't been in contact with humans? Because people are saying, like, we've not seen a Trolloc for years.
Yeah.
Right? So what... how have they been getting their murder kicks? Murdering each other?
I assume killing each other.
Yeah.
I know they do raids on the Borderlands.
Yeah.
They do that quite a lot.
Yeah.
When they get bored.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or maybe when there's sort of too many of them and they need to sort of
thin down the numbers.
Yeah, like sort of... what does that kind of thing? Like fish or something. There's too many in one area.
Culling.
Culling, yeah. They cull themselves. Mm. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't see them as particularly clever. I don't see them doing much more than that. No. They never really get past the Borderlands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there's a society of Trollocs.
Not in the way that we might understand a society, I think.
You reckon they're all just...
I think more like orcs.
Yeah.
You know? Like, they have a society, but it's not really.
Yeah.
You know? It's sort of held together by duct tape and blue tack.
No, and they just... I mean, how do they pass the time?
Murder, I guess.
Well, someone's got to be farming. And they've got to feed them somehow, right? You know, like thousands of Trollocs. Is the Dark One just got, like... a different part of his army, which is like the kitchen. Just what's the supply line to supplying the Trollocs out in the two rivers and stuff like that, right?
I don't know.
Can't just march an army.
Yeah.
You know, if the, you know, what's it, they say an army rules by its stomach or something like that, right?
I don't know.
But like,
yeah,
you gotta be able to supply your Trollocs, right?
Yep. Napoleon found that out in Russia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the Russians found that out in Ukraine.
Yeah.
Right.
That's true.
They can't just send a load of Trollocs and go, right, guys, go kill these guys and come back. They've got if they've got thousands of Trollocs.
Well, maybe you can if they're dispensable.
I guess just what? If you've got loads. For a week of them, and then they die of starvation.
You got loads more.
Yeah.
It is.
Unless there's more of this teleportation thing.
It's a fact that they'll put anything in a cookpot thing.
So they'll eat anything?
They'll eat anything.
Yeah.
So
they're just...
They could eat each other.
Yeah, perhaps.
I wouldn't put it past them. They're pretty...
They're probably just going across... walking across the world, picking up birds and stuff and eating them. And then...
Just grass or... Turnips, just heaps of turnips.
Do you reckon they'll eat turnips? I saw them as more as meatitarians than.
Well,
mate, Rand eats all the turnips. What are you talking about?
Yeah. There aren't any more.
There won't be any turnips left.
Price of turnips.
I just couldn't imagine a Trolloc, like, you know, eating vegetables. Doesn't.
No, I think they're on the meat only.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although they could season their meat if there were some turnips.
Mm-hmm. Nah.
Nah.
Blood. Season it with blood. Yeah.
Blood and fear.
Yeah. You know, they do that in Korea, right?
Is this dogs we're talking about?
Yeah. So what they do is...
They skin them alive, right?
They beat them mercilessly because the adrenaline that pumps into the meat makes the meat taste better.
Yeah.
So they beat them mercilessly.
Yeah.
And then they kill them.
Yeah.
I had a friend who lived near a dog meat restaurant in South Korea. Yeah. You see the dogs crying because they were getting beaten.
Dogs can't cry.
Well, you know what I mean. Like, not like, oh shit, stop hitting me, but like that, but in like dog language. Yeah.
I was thinking about this the other day. Like, babies cry, but puppies don't cry.
They whine.
Do any other animals cry? Like human babies do? You don't see birds in the nest going like, meh.
Well, they make lots of noise.
They go tweet, tweet, right?
Maybe that's the equivalent.
But, yeah, I guess so.
I mean, it's evolved to be whatever noise is most annoying to the mother to feed it.
Yeah.
You know? It just happens to be crying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the human evolution has failed there, right?
Why?
Because it should be something like, have you got a time to talk about our Savior, Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ?
Shut the baby up!
Quick! Put a tin in its mouth!
Get the bottle, yeah. Oh, God. Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
So what did you think about the ravens murking that fox?
What do you want me to think about it?
I'm just asking what you did think about it. Like, not many books you read where a load of ravens gang up on a fox.
It's all right.
It's all right.
I've read gorier stuff, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we wanted... it could have been a bit more descriptive.
Is that what you would have liked? Would you have liked a bit more description?
Yeah. Like, you know, eyes popping out, entrails and...
Yeah.
Maybe an eye hanging.
Yeah.
You know? In the description of the fox.
Is that like, that's what you'd like
see
to
in the ground?
Yeah.
But looking straight ahead.
I mean, maybe Robert Jordan did originally put that in, but yeah, they decided it was too verbose even for him.
I feel like that's the one thing that I think that what's his face? Who's the fat guy we always talk about?
Brandon Sanderson.
No. The other fat guy.
I don't know.
The other book series, Game of Thrones guy.
Oh yeah, George R. R. Martin.
George R. R. Martin, yeah, like he.
Penis man.
He won't shy away from
penises.
The terror of real life and war and death, right? And we haven't really come across anything like that in this book so far, right?
Yeah.
We haven't had any really disgustingly descriptive kind of violence injuries or
the dream where the Dark One killed a wolf.
Yeah,
he just kind of set him on fire. Yeah. Really,
from inside out though, I think.
Yeah, it could have been more like, you know,
you could smell like the burning.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was.
Not enough for you?
I'm not saying it wasn't enough for me. I'm just saying that it feels like a bit tame.
Yep.
Compared to how it could be.
Yeah.
When you describe these kind of things.
Well, I mean, we're halfway through the first book. I think he's warming up.
Yeah.
You know, there's not a whole lot of war really yet.
Yeah, I guess so.
I mean
just because of how verbose he is,
yeah,
it could have been like 2 pages of describing this wolf, this fox, yeah, like, you yeah know, just getting brutally fucking punctured by beaks and blood spraying and entrails dripping. And
well, if I ever write a book, I will make sure that I include that kind of stuff for you.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thanks. Okay, I've got to masturbate to something.
What would Andrew want here? Okay, yeah.
How am I going to give him a real boner?
I don't know if I should mention it, but
you're talking about like one scene in a book 5.
No, there's a bit in a later book that is described as a meat grinder, which is. It's a good scene.
Okay.
Yeah, it's quite good.
D-Day.
It's like very, very similar.
Yeah.
To the landings.
Yeah. In the beach landings. Yeah.
Very similar.
Okay.
It's good.
Well, maybe in another 3 years we'll get there.
Yeah. Well, probably 3 years. Yeah.
Quality content there.
Yeah, well, I'll cut that. So that's yeah. So let's sort of move past all of the. I mean, it's pretty much. I don't say nonsense, but it's a lot of nothing. The first 5-6 pages of this chapter.
Yeah,
it's just them running for a while.
Running.
And then though, there is a bit. Which I think is really interesting to talk about, is just before they reach the safe place.
Yeah.
Where Perrin is sort of looking back at Egwene.
Oh, yeah.
And he's sort of having a bit of a moral dilemma going on.
I want to kill that bitch.
Going on in his head.
No. I want to kill that bitch for her own good.
Yes. So he's worried that, like, if the ravens look behind them and see them coming, then they will attack Egwene. And he claims he doesn't want her to die in that
so painfully
horrible
and horrible
way. Yeah, exactly. So,
he's
going to solve the situation.
By killing her.
Like a brave hero.
Yeah.
And butcher her himself.
Why not?
Yeah. Well,
he's got an axe, got to use it somehow.
I mean, he's only, you know, trying to save her.
Yeah.
Right? What do you think? Do you think bloodlust?
Wolf boy? No, I think it's typical Perrin overthinking situations and planning through. So he's looking on his own demise and her demise, and he has to have a plan to take control of it, right? Because he always has to be in control of the situation through his planning and his cunning.
Yeah, he's quite wholesome.
As wholesome as you can be, killing your friend to save them from a painful death, right? I mean, it's quite, it does seem quite noble, in a sense. Right, virtuous, chivalric,
maybe.
To spare someone pain and suffering.
Would you do that?
Well, I don't know, Egwene.
I would have used her as bait.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like the old saying. What is it when you're two guys running away from a bear?
You don't have to be faster than the bear, just faster than your mate.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why you don't need a powerful gun. You just need a gun that can shoot your mate in the knee.
Yeah.
Right? Just a .22 will be fine.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Yeah, that's all you need.
Don't need bear caliber.
No.
Just cheap out.
Don't need bear mace.
Yeah.
Don't waste your money on that shit. No.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I thought, you know, perfect opportunity.
Yeah. Do you like, just talking about bear mace, you know that it's called bear spray, right? And people have thought that it's like insect spray. You spray it on yourself to scare the bear away.
Is this like an American thing? Like, do not spray yourself with the bear mace.
Yeah.
You've been like the warning too many times.
Warning on the chainsaw. Do not chainsaw own face.
Mm.
Oh, damn it. I was just about to do that.
I can believe it.
Yeah.
I'll believe anything with our American friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you think there'd be a Trolloc spray?
I don't think they've mastered compressed gases.
Yeah.
Yet. In the Two Rivers.
No. Yeah. So. Perhaps. But it could be like, it could be, you know, Trollocs are your archetypal beast man.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So what if the spray is just like flowers,
love. Oh, it's nice things.
Love.
Yeah, love.
Yeah.
How would you spray love? I can think of a couple of ways. But probably not best to start doing that in the midst of a Trolloc attack.
Yeah. Just hold on, that was there.
It's a tough one.
Oh, it looked at me. Oh, it's gone floppy.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be too bad if it was Slaaneshi demons, but
yeah,
Trollocs.
The challenging wank. Yeah. But then as soon as you get it, they're like, oh my God, it's love.
Yeah.
Oh, one weakness.
God. It's in my eye.
Yeah. It's my kryptonite. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
We solved it.
Yeah.
So for that final battle, right?
It's just loads of people.
It's just, I told you, it's Mechazilla, right? Where they all join together and then just have a massive wank. The Dark Horse gets it all in his hair and he's like, I'm drowning.
Yeah.
It burns. It burns.
Pure love.
Did you eat pineapple?
Yeah.
It makes
Brad's
it,
just been eating turnips. No pineapple.
Oh, shit.
Earthy.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's good beer.
So does anything else happen in this chapter?
We get to the steading.
They get to the steading. And the steading sounds quite interesting, actually.
Yeah. So they mentioned the steading in the last chapter.
How far into the steading did we get in this chapter?
Oh, I mean, I guess away, because they moved away from the edge of the steading.
Yeah.
Because they didn't.
Did we get a description of what the steading is by the Ogier and all that stuff?
A little bit.
Yeah.
So, a steading, Elias roars, you never listen to stories. Of course, there hasn't been an Ogier here in 3,000 odd years, not since the breaking of the world, but it's the steading makes the Ogier. Not the Ogier makes the steading. just a legend. In the stories, the Steading were always havens.
Yeah.
Places to hide, where it was, whether it was from the Aes Sedai or from the Father of Lies. So interestingly, the Aes Sedai cannot touch the one power inside a Steading.
It seems like a magic free place, right? A bit like a...
Yeah.
A blank.
It's like a, yeah, like a hollow place.
Mm-hmm.
Where...
all spirituality is non-existent, gone. Yeah.
Yeah. Only logic remains. Mm. I don't know. But it's...
Vulcan.
Yes. It doesn't... never says sort of exactly what it is.
Mm.
Just that it's a safe place. Magic can't touch you. Bad people can go in.
So what's quite interesting is that, like, they all know they've crossed the threshold.
Yeah, it's like...
Right?
Like, yeah.
They can feel it.
Yes.
And... Egwene feels it because she loses touch with the one power, right?
Yes.
But she doesn't know that's what it is, but that's what it is, right?
Yes, it's just for strange, yeah.
But it doesn't affect Elias and Perrin's abilities.
No, it has nothing to do with the wolves.
So they're...
But the wolves, we know, has nothing to do with the one power.
So they're... Yes, but I guess, yeah. I was going to say, you know, the Dark One... doesn't really have anything to do with the one power, but he is, right? He's the opposite side of that coin.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it doesn't seem okay. It's a complete mystical vacuum because there's still this mystical link between him and the wolves that exists in this place, right?
Yeah.
Unless you see that as a natural thing.
Yeah.
Rather than a supernatural thing.
I would see it as a natural thing rather than a supernatural thing. Well, yeah. I don't even know.
Well, werewolves aren't really natural, are they? That's a supernatural thing, right?
Well, yeah, I guess so. But this isn't really described as, I mean, at least yet, not yet. It's not really werewolf. Like, Elias is not.
Mm.
He's not turning into a wolf. Mm. He's very wolfish.
Yeah.
But he hasn't gone, like, down onto all fours like American Werewolf in London.
Wasn't there a bit where they said he went to run away on all fours, or was that
he looked
chapter?
Like he was going to go down to all fours, but he didn't. He just kind of like gollumed away.
I mean, they've always described him as loping and all that kind of stuff, and it really feels like he's a...
I think that's more his walk, though.
Yeah, yeah, like... but his walk is wolfish, right? Yeah. He is a wolf man.
Yeah.
Right. His smile, his eyes.
Yeah. His dress.
He is loop garoop.
Yeah. It doesn't say the wolves come in, though. Well, I mean, I suppose they do later on, but...
Mm.
Yeah. It doesn't explain it.
Plot hole.
Well, maybe we just haven't gotten to the point yet where they actually say Steading is X.
Yeah. It needs a glossary, right?
It's got a
compendium.
Glossary. It's got a glossary at the back.
Yeah. Right? Fuck that.
Yeah. We're not there yet. You can't read it anyway, so...
That's episode 60 of the podcast. Mm. We talk through the glossary.
So they move on to what seems to be the only water source for miles around.
Yeah, an oasis.
Yeah, more like a stagnant pool.
Yeah.
I think. I don't know how deep it is. But it's just drinkable anyway. And Perrin kind of has a bit of a... like an oh shit, would you really have done that moment?
Yeah,
like never tell Egwene that you were planning to kill her.
Good advice to yourself, I think.
Yeah, I mean, unless she really annoys you in an argument.
I was gonna kill you.
You're like, you're lucky to even be alive. Yeah. Like, I was gonna chop your head off. She's like, what? When? You're like, doesn't matter.
So who do you reckon, if there was a fight? Egwene versus Perrin?
Oh, Perrin would fucking destroy her.
You reckon?
Yeah.
He'd be thinking things through. He'd be like...
Yeah, but he'd be able to, because her punches would do nothing to him. Just be there thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't think she'd one power and set him on fire?
I don't think she's... Maybe not yet. Maybe later. Mm. But at the moment, I think she'd be...
Okay.
Yeah. Because we know she can't... She gets performance anxiety.
Yeah, but it's in the heat of the moment, right? You really need it. You got the touch.
She would be the aggressor in any fight between her and Perrin.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Because all men are idiots.
Mm.
Turnips between the ears.
Absolutely.
All right. Is there much else to talk about?
The statue?
Oh, did we get to that?
Yep. It looks like an eye.
Oh, yes.
It did look like an eye under all that soot.
Did he tell a story?
He does, yep.
Yeah.
So this is actually a point that I wanted to raise with you.
Go on, then.
Arta Hawkwing.
Yeah.
Arta Pendrag Tanriel Arta Hawkwing, the High King.
Yeah.
Does that name ring any bells?
No. Should it? King Arthur.
Very similar to a name, a historical name in England.
Of Arthur Pendragon.
Yes.
Who's that?
He's that old king, right?
Is he?
Yeah. I know the name, but I don't exactly know the history. Yeah. Is that King Arthur?
I don't know.
I don't know.
No. We should have maybe done some...
I should have done some research.
Research.
Mike, Google that for me.
He's on his phone anyway.
Yeah. He's looking at chubby thighs.
What is it called? Japanese Suto? No.
You're Googling Arthur Pendragon.
Just Google Ahigo while you're there.
Oh, Shrek. Because it's Shrek. Oh, he looks like...
All right.
Oh, he comes up with
Shrek.
King Arthur.
King Arthur.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
King Arthur.
Yeah, that's and what he looks like.
So it's a cross between King Arthur and Stephen Hawking. Yeah.
Yeah. Close. So
he's got a round table, but it's the wheels of his wheelchair. It's a table.
Okay. So
The wheel of time could be the wheel of his wheelchair.
Yes.
Yeah. Stephen Hawking's wheels going round and round.
So they're like, again, final battle.
Yeah.
The killer dark one. It is not over yet. You fought. You defeated me.
But, okay, so let's stay on this Arthur Pendragon, right?
Fine.
Yeah. Any other names in this book that sound similar to something else you may have heard?
Thom sounds like Tom.
Yeah. What about his surname?
What was his surname?
Merlin.
Sounds like Merin.
Or Merlin. So there's a theory that because of the cycles and people being reborn over time, that people are being played out the same souls but different characters and different stories.
That this is our history. Ancient history.
Could be. Could be.
Oh my God.
So you've got Merlin, potentially.
Yeah.
Tom Merlin. Arta Pendrag.
Is that it? Two data points does not a...
No, so I'm bringing it up
yeah.
so that you can keep an eye out in future.
Okay.
Yeah. I thought you would find that slightly more interesting from a literary perspective, but obviously not.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I've tried
to entice him.
I have to say, I did not get the references. I was too dumb.
Yeah.
Or too smart.
And, I mean, it's a bit cliche, right? That this is our Earth. I mean...
Well, we all know how little you think of Robert Jordan's writing abilities.
So. Yeah. Are they going to come across, like, the Statue of Liberty? Like,
well,
in the sand?
There's a statue.
Yeah.
In the sand.
Yeah.
It's not a Statue of Liberty. Although, I suppose, in a way, it kind of is.
I was wrong. It was Earth all along.
Yeah. Is that the musical? Did you see the musical of Planet of the Apes?
I thought you would have got that reference.
No.
You finally made a monkey.
No.
Okay. Fine.
No. What's it from?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right. Well, no. You don't give a shit about my story. No. I'm not going to give a shit about your stories.
No.
Podcast over.
I'm not gonna. If you have to ask, you'll never know.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm fine with that. There's so many other things I don't know. I'll just add it to the list.
Yeah.
Yep.
Colossus, right? The statue is pretty colossal.
Big.
Mm. Like the eye is the size of a man.
Yeah, it's huge, man. I like that they built the statue and then he died, and then they just didn't build the city.
Yeah.
So they just had a statue
in
the middle of nowhere for thousands of years.
It's quite poetic.
Yeah. I like that as soon as he died, everyone just fell apart.
Yeah.
Like the spirit of the society that he'd created just was gone immediately, and everyone was like, power?
Well, yes, but the way he's described as enforcing his power is quite draconian fascist, right? It's quite 1984, right? So, like...
Yeah.
It almost implies that he was watching everyone all the time, and if you committed any crime, you were dead.
Yeah, he fucked you up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Guilty until presumed guilty until proven innocent.
Well, I don't think that. I think like you were guilty. He was watching all the time, and you did anything, right?
Mm. Yeah.
Public urination, dead.
Yeah, I agree with that sentence.
Yeah.
To be fair, I agree with the death sentence for most crimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's cheaper.
Yeah. There's a comment in there around Judaism. I will walk away from it.
Yeah, you do that. Yeah, because otherwise I'll put it in the podcast and you'll be a bully.
Yeah. I'll be an anti-Semite.
Yeah,
practically Hitler.
All right. So anything stand out from that chapter? I think I'm going to lean towards you saying no. But I want to ask you before we.
I mean the steading to me.
Was the most interesting was part the most of that.
There's this. What forms a steading? Why is a steading what it is?
And we get another sort of mention of Ogier again.
Oh yeah, are there other havens as such? Right. Yeah. You know, it's. Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, shit.
Shit, yeah, not Robbie's best work.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, we'll finish on that optimistic note.
Yeah. We'll be here again next week if I can be asked.
Yeah. Yeah. If he hasn't burned the book in protest. Yeah. Right. Thanks a lot.
Don't forget to
do the things.
Like, subscribe, and.
Every week you said that with less enthusiasm.
I could do it like Lex Friedman if you want.
Oh, yeah.
No, don't bother. There's only one Lex Friedman.
Please like and subscribe our podcast. Yeah. And don't forget to click the bell.
This is sponsored by Pillows. They are the softest pillows I've ever used.
Please go to pillows.com and enter coupon code...
Lex is not a robot.
20.
Just kill us.